Dear friends in Christ Jesus, this morning we're going to be looking at the epistle lesson which you had just previously heard read, but how appropriate it is for us on this day of Palm Sunday, this day in which we see Jesus Christ coming into Jerusalem. You know, you can hear and you can almost feel the excitement as these children are picking up palm branches and they're singing, you know, the hosannas to the king. Here, Jesus. In contrary to the way the world would expect things to happen, rather than coming in with a mighty steed and with armies ablazing, comes in on a simple colt. But yet the people recognize him as the king that's coming, the one who is bringing in the kingdom of glory, the one who has come for them in order to bring salvation and righteousness to them. And so you hear these children shout. But really, this text that we're going to be looking at is really about the mind of Jesus Christ. It's about understanding his mind and being of like mind with him. And that's so important for us today, especially as we look in the world and how the world always wants us to go its way. Why it always wants us to follow his. But if we understand the mind of Jesus Christ, what we do is we understand the mind of God's love. We understand the mind of his compassion as we've learned over these past several Sundays. And we see the act of obedience, the mind of Jesus Christ as he goes to the cross in order to take away our sins, to make us righteous, to make us
children of God.
And that's so important for us to realize as children of God that we are just like Christ. And what he does is he sets our minds to be like his. You see, what we have to realize is that for the world, they're always trying to figure out how to get people in unison or really unified. And it's so difficult to do. I mean, you even take a look at our Congress and how they're just a handful of people, but yet they cannot be unified in thought in any way. There doesn't seem anything that unifies them together. But as the church, as children of God, that we have something that's special and different that goes way beyond the way that this world operates. And that is that as children of God, we are unified in Christ. First of all, we have to realize that when we were a child, maybe some of us even as adults, that we received the waters of baptism. And in those waters of baptism, when we had those waters sprinkled upon us, God changed us. He changes our minds, he changes our hearts, and he joins us with him. He makes us a part of him. Just as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost together are in unity with one another, are one God, one essence, even though they're three people, that so there's a mystical union that's been brought together when we come to faith and when we live through our baptism. The fact that we are unified with God. You see, the world tries to do it in some strange ways. In fact, there was an experiment that was done, I don't know when it was, but it was earlier on in the previous century, or later on in the previous century. It was actually done by the French. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to try to see if they could not make things happen. They had some chickens, and they had some quails. What they wanted to do is they wanted to see if they could make the chickens sound like quails. And so what they did is they went in and they cut, they identified in the brains of the quail what was the speech centers were. And the same thing in the chickens. And so what they did was they cut those speech patterns out and they put them inside of the chickens. Well, it didn't do much for the chickens, but the ones that were born afterwards, they were actually able to get it to sound chickens to sound like quails. It was really kind of a funny and situation thing. But the thing about it is, though, is that we got to realize that in a way, that's what happens to us. God takes that which is up here and replaces it with his mind. Now, the thing about it is that in that experiment, the problem was that there were some funky things that happened to the chickens and they didn't last long. But it's still the fact of being of like mind. And that's really what it is when we have faith in Jesus Christ, is that we understand his mind. We understand, first of all, his love. A love that took him down this path that we see here on Palm Sunday. Because it really is not about the parade that happens and the excitement that happens as the children. And you see, here comes Jesus, and they come in, they start laying cloaks, and they start laying palm branches that they cut out of the fields and that. You could imagine by the time he got into Jerusalem, these people were singing his praises and all that. But yet he knew that just in a few days, as he walked through those streets of Jerusalem, that what he was doing was heading to a much different thing. Believe me, just a few days after that, they weren't shouting his praises, but they were watching him die on a cross. They were watching him being beat and spit upon. They were watching him being treated like a criminal and put to a criminal's death. You see, that's what this week is all about, is knowing that he would die, our Savior would die on that cross. But see, that's the way of the world, isn't it? The things that we don't understand, the things that we don't want to be encroached, when anything encroaches upon the way that we want him to be, anything that's different, don't we want to put it to death as well? But yet, that's what Jesus did, and he knew that he had to do it. And so that was the love that he had. That love that took him to that cross to be obedient even unto death. In fact, that's the second thing that we understand about the mind of God, is understanding the obedience, the act of obedience that Christ did. It was a situation where in the Trinity they knew that the plan was this, that Jesus Christ would have to suffer and die in order, but raise again from the dead. And we know that Jesus, the fleshly side of Jesus, struggled with that. We know that because there in the Mount of on the Mount of Olives, there in that garden, as he prayed that night, praying not only for him, but we saw that he asked his heavenly Father, if there be any other way, take this cup from me. And we saw those drops of sweaty blood that came from his forehead. But yet he knew that there was no other way. And it could have been easy for him to just take off and just say, forget this. I don't need to do this. Why should I do that for those people? But that's where we see, once again, the act of obedience of Jesus Christ, knowing it. And that's where we see his heart, once again. It's out of that love for us. Each one of you, each one sitting here, that he does that. For each one of us. You see, that's where we also see the heart of Jesus Christ, the compassion that he has. Because he looked upon this world and said, there's nothing more that I can do than to die for these people. Yes, to die for Bill over there. Or die for Jackie back over there. Or David way back in the back. You see, that's the thing about it is he looks upon us and he has compassion. And he says, I need to do this. And it's that same mind that he brings to us. And as we see Jesus coming into Jerusalem, we hear those voices united. And see, he calls us as his people to be united in that same way. You see, the thing about it is, though, is the world tries to unite around different things. They think that you can reunite, that you know, two people can come together and unite, and they can reunite with this, with you, and then unite with these kids back over here as well. But the thing about it, oh, and Jacob back over there, he wants to be included too. The problem is that we have to have a point at which we unite from. It's kind of like that old, have you ever done that, that thing where you tell somebody, and we start out here with Leanne, I would tell her something, and then by the time it got back there, and by the time it got all the way back up here to the front, Jan would tell me a story that would be totally different than what I told her. You see, that's the problem when we think that people can come together and throw all those things. But what we have to do is we have to understand that what we do is we unite around one thing, and that one thing is Jesus Christ, the mind of Christ. That's where we find our unity, is in Jesus Christ himself. It's kind of like this. It's like 100 pianos. If I tune those 100 pianos, if I just tune one off of another, off of another, off of another, when those pianos come together and you play those 100 pianos, it's going to be a terrible sound. It's going to vary so much that the sound's going to be off and it's going to just simply scratch the ears. But when we use a single pitchfork, and that is the center by which all of those 100 pianos are tuned, that when they play together, that the music is heavenly. It is one which they're all 100 are being played in unison with one note, with one thing, off of one point. And that's really what it is with Jesus Christ. When we see Jesus Christ and we know the mind of Jesus Christ, then we as children of God speak in the same voice. That's what happened when Jesus came into Jerusalem. You heard the children saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." You see, that's being of one mind. That's being of one heart. That's being of one love, of one compassion. You see, when we fix ourselves around Jesus Christ, that's what happens. That's what happens there. In fact, here in a few minutes, we're going to take and we're going to receive his very body and blood, that which has been given to us for the forgiveness of our sins, to cleanse us of unrighteousness. That's what brings us and keeps us in one mind. But we're also going to be singing the song that we talk about. When all of the people, all of the company of heaven, all of the saints who have gone before us and all of us, we all speak with one voice, saying the same thing, giving the same praises. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Have you ever thought about that? In a few moments, we're going to be saying those words together. But we're not saying them ourselves. We're saying with all the company of heaven, with all the saints before us and the saints to come. And that's music. That's heavenly music. But see, the problem is the world doesn't want us to think that way. It wants us to think its way. And it tries to get us to do that. In fact, it reminds me about the guy. He was up in New England area. And he tells the story about, you know, it's one of those things, and we've had these things. If you go down certain streets, you have certain streets that are considered to be disaster routes or snow routes and that kind of thing. And for them, they had the same thing. Only the thing about it was that whenever the alert went out, there was an even side and an odd side. Okay, so you had to listen to the radio, and when the alert came out, it would tell you, it'd say, "Today we're going to have 4 to 6 inches of snow, and we're going to go by our emergency disaster routes, and what you have to do is that today is an even day." So what you did was you parked your car on the even side. And so one day the alert went out, and they got it. He got it. He received it. So he parked his car. He put his galoshes on. He put his stuff on. He tromps outside. He moves his car and he puts it on the even side. Well, this was a particular time where they had storm after storm after storm. So a couple days later, the disaster thing went out again. And what it did, it says, the radio announcer got on there and he says, "Today we're going to be under another snow advisory and we're going to use our disaster route plan, only today we're going to be going on the odd side." Okay, no problem. He put on his boots, he put on his jacket and everything. He sloshed out there to his car and he moved it to the odd side. Well, then one day, a couple days later, he had the radio on, and the radio broadcaster came up and said, "Today, we're going to have another snow emergency. There's going to be 4 to 6 inches of snow. So today, we're going to use disaster route number." The radio went out. And so he didn't know what to do. And so, like, what ends up happening is he kind of tries to figure it out and everything. And see, that's the way the world is we like to try to figure things out and everything. But we never think of it from the different aspect. And so all of a sudden, his wife, of course, comes up and tells him, "Honey, well, why don't today you put it in the garage?" You see, that's the problem. Is we try to conform to the world, don't we? We try to conform to those when if we just simply take the mind of God, we go beyond what this world teaches us. We go beyond what makes sense. After all, didn't it make sense that if the king was coming, that he would come into Jerusalem on a white steed with the sword pulled, and that he would have a big army behind him? Isn't that what Jesus should have done as the king that's coming to take away the sins of the world and to set things right? But it's the mind of God that comes in on a colt, on a donkey. Not even a full-grown donkey. It was a colt. It was a baby. And it was the children who pulled out the palm branches and laid them there and says, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." That his parade wasn't a mighty army with whatever technology they had at the time. They were palm branches. You see, that's the thing about it is, God's ways are not the ways of the world. And God's mind is different than the mind of the world. And we tap into it because of our faith. Because we believe. And you see, that's really what this day is all about. That's what Palm Sunday is all about. It's all about recognizing the King that comes in and does things different ways. The world believes that you have to conquer through might. Jesus conquered by submitting himself to death. But on Easter morning, he walked out of that tomb. He showed that his power was greater than anything else in this world, even the power of death. And for us as his people, being like-minded, we too sacrifice ourselves to the world. We show our love to the world in ways that the world doesn't understand. We show the compassion of Jesus to the way that we forgive rather than holding grudges. And what we do is we allow our light, our different light, to shine into this world. So as we go forward from this day, as we get ready to prepare ourselves to journey with Jesus to the cross, let us remember that the whole reason that Christ went to that cross, the whole reason that he obeyed and was living in that active obedience was for each one of you, each one, whether it be Jacob at his age, whether it be, is that Holly or is that Emmy? That's Holly. I can't see from back. I don't have my glasses. Or whether it be the oldest of the oldest here. She thought I was going to pick on her. Remember in the Old Testament lesson about pulling out beards, you know. But whether it be the oldest that's here, that's why Jesus died. That's why he did, so that we would be like-minded with him, so that we would be in unity with him, so that we would be in unity with one another, that together we can say that we are children of God. And that means eternity. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds centered and focused on Christ Jesus our Lord. And may we be in like mind with him to live actively obedient to Christ, to love as Christ loves, and to have compassion of Jesus himself. Amen.